The text for the sermon this evening is the last verse of Psalm 87, verse 7 of this psalm. Both the singers and the players on instruments say, "All my springs are in you." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the last verse of Psalm 87 describes the enthusiastic worship in Zion. Because the city of God is a city of great joy and great rejoicing. It is filled with the holy worship of the holy God. The ground for rejoicing will be so great that the praises of God will resound in Zion continually with the energy of the living voice as well as with the skill and energy of God's people themselves. The great joy and the great harmony and melody of praises portrays the happiness which shall prevail in the midst of the city of God. The great purpose and design of all the gifts which God gives to His church so abundantly is that the faithful people of God should testify that they remember God's blessings and thankfully receive and acknowledge them. The Hebrew word translated players on instruments may also mean those who dance. Whatever the translation, the meaning is that there will be a continual concert of God's praises in the church where He unfolds the treasures of His grace. And that the faithful will be heard singing continually and in response to the amazing grace and goodness and blessings of God. And then all our affections, as His glorious bride, will be settled on the Lord Himself. And when God gathers us from the vague and the vain objects of this world that so easily distract us, when we are indifferent to the honors and pleasures and riches and pageantries of this world, and we find enough to engage and satisfy us in the spiritual glory of Christ's kingdom, He will be all in all to us and for us. The song and the dance of the heart to the Lord, that is something. What do they say? Both the singers and the players on instruments say, "All my springs are in you." This is referring to a spring of water. It does one good to think that there are such things in the world as springs bubbling up in the shady nooks of the earth. There are places of sweet refreshment in this dusty earth. The mouth waters at the very thought of the palms of Elam and the wells there. Fresh springs of water are a blessing to us. They were even more of a blessing to God's people Israel, who lived in a dry and thirsty land which owed almost all its fertility to irrigation. Nothing is more precious to people in a dry land than a well or a spring of water. He who finds a spring of water counts himself much happier than he who has found a vein of precious metal. We must therefore transfer the thought of precious water springing up abundantly, bubbling up with living force to our spiritual condition, and then say with our Savior, "All my springs are in you." That is to say, we trace all the mercies we receive to their fountainhead. We thank God for the blessings that He gives us. We do not receive them with selfish inattention, but considering them well, we find that every good and every perfect gift comes from our God and our Heavenly Father. Not only everything good around us, but everything good within us comes from the same source. Our Savior discovering within himself a living power, a living well of water within his own nature. He traced that also to the grace of God, and he's saying, all my springs are in you. First, we see that all the springs I drink of are in you, the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 4 says, there's a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There is a river in the city of God that brings joy. The springs, the river of Psalm 46, is not a little river. It is the river of the blessing of God. It is the sense that I am getting a taste of the kind of fellowship with God that Adam and Eve knew before the fall. It does something to my whole being. Does not our heart dance within us when we worship the Lord? Our hearts overflow with joy and with praise. There are streams of living water flowing through us and out of us. There are many other Old Testament passages that speak of these springs of water. In Genesis 49, verse 25, Jacob blessed his son Joseph with blessings of the deep that lie beneath. Deep down in the earth are vast reservoirs of water, and when these are tapped, they spring up and we are refreshed by them. These are symbolic of the mighty fountains of God's eternal love, the electing grace of God, the infinite fullness of the heart of God in His own nature. For His nature and His name are love. When we get to the great fountains of the infinite, eternal, immutable love of the Father toward His chosen people, then indeed we come to the fountainhead of all the streams which make the people of God glad. There's not a blessing we receive, but it may be traced to the eternal purpose of God. We may see on every single blessing of the covenant the stamp of the eternal purpose and decree of God and His love to me, His child. Every Christian who is rightly taught, who understands the Word of God, and is not afraid of the fullness of the truth of God, will ascribe all the springs of grace that he ever drinks of to that eternal fountain. God asked Job, Job 38, verse 16, have you entered the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in search of the depths? This is a great mystery. We cannot find these secret springs, but yet we know that they are there. We rejoice in them and we bless God for them. When our Savior says here in Psalm 87, all my springs are in you, he thought of that rock from which the living water leaped in the wilderness, so that all the multitudes of the children of Israel who were in the desert drank of that stream. Those who had true knowledge of God also drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and we know that that rock was the Lord Jesus Christ. That rock too was struck, and immediately it became a spring of water for all the people of Israel, even as our smitten Savior has now become the spring from which all of us can drink eternal life. We also find leaping from the cleft in his side, the cleansing blood and the refreshing water. We may trace all our blessings to his redeeming love. There's a crimson mark on every blessing of the covenant. That is a most sure and precious truth of God. And as we look to our dear Lord upon the cross and see Him also exalted in His glory in heaven, remembering that it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and that of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, we can truly say to him, Emmanuel, all my springs are in you. In the time of Abraham, his servants dug certain wells over which the Philistines disputed. Later, when Isaac had to go into Philistia, he found that the wells which Abraham had dug had been filled up by the Philistines. He therefore dug other wells, and when the Philistines began to argue with his herdsmen, he moved on further and dug another well, and the Philistines fought again over that well. He moved again, for he was a peaceful man. And they found him again. It seemed as if he could have no water without having to fight for it. Sometimes the wells of which we drink are springs concerning which there is great contention. There are some who deny the most precious doctrines of the gospel. There is a sound of war at the place of drawing water. And a poor, simple child of God would come and let down his bucket and drink a draft of water. He finds the enemy's arrows flying past his ears. Somebody has discovered that one doctrine is not scriptural, that another doctrine is not reasonable, and so the thirsty soul becomes afraid to drink of that well. What is worse, if there should not be any controversy about the truth itself, he will find a controversy in his own soul about his right to appropriate it. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, will remind him of his sins and faults and tell him, you can have no part or lot in salvation, or else you would not be the sinner that you are. Those who are delivered from the noise of war in the place of drawing water shall bless the name of the Lord as they drink. Brothers and sisters, truly, if we always remember that all our mercies come from God, that whatever logic and reason may insist upon, it must be true that salvation is of the Lord. That no matter what men who fight against the truth may say, it must be true that every good gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. If we believed that, then we would find that even as the enemy contends against us, we have access to the refreshing stream. Since all the springs worth drinking are in God our Father and Christ our Redeemer, we can come to these and drink without fear, for God is ours. Christ is ours. And therefore every covenant blessing is ours too. And therefore, laying aside all disputing and contention, we come and we drink of these springs, these wells, because they are in God and in Christ our Savior. If we possess eternal life, God gave it to us. If we believe in Jesus, faith is not a flower that ever springs from the natural soil of man's heart. If we have repentance unto life, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God within us. If we have been kept and preserved until now, faithful to our profession, we have nothing of which we can glory. We would have gone back from it if God had not preserved us and kept us by His power and grace through faith unto salvation. We have not had one single jot of anything from the first day until now that we have not derived from the Lord's infinite mercy. All our springs are in Him. Shall we not bless His name? While we say, spring up, O well, shall we not also add, sing to the Lord and bless and magnify that perennial fountain of mercy which perpetually flows to us. We have been in the valley of Baca and made it a well, and the rain has filled the pools. We have been in the valley of fellowship with Christ, walking along the cool valley of communion with our Father who is in heaven, and behold, it has been a place of springs full of water. Such is the image the Lord describes for us in the Old Testament. There's not one joy in our best and happiest time that does not come from God. In our choicest moments, when we are most like our Lord and most free from the encumbrances of this world, never, even then, do we have anything good that we can ascribe to ourselves. If it is good, it all comes from God. We read in Isaiah 43, verse 19, that the Lord will make waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And the Lord says in Isaiah 41, verse 18, I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That is an odd place for rivers. Do you remember springs in the midst of your dry land? Can you remember when you ate of treasures hidden in the sand, when it was dark in your life, and yet there was never so much light? When you were in the land of barrenness, and yet were never so filled with plenty? When you had abounding troubles, and yet never had such superabounding comforts? Oh, let us bless the Lord that our desert springs are in Him. They are in Him, or we would not have had them. Had not the Lord been with us, if He had not opened rivers and desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valley and made the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water, we would have fallen and died in the wilderness, like those who came out of Egypt, whose carcasses were scattered in unbelief. All our springs come from the great deep of the infinite love of God. All our springs are in Him. In John chapter 7, we read that the Feast of Booths, or of Tabernacles, was coming to an end in Jerusalem. And Jesus was there. There was this traditional service to reenact the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness without water to drink. The priests and the singers would go to the pool of Siloam and draw water out of it and bring it back into the temple and pour the water around the altar in the temple. As they did so, they would chant the words of Isaiah chapter 12 about drawing water from the wells of salvation. They did this every year as part of this great ceremony that spoke so much about the blessing of God and the rivers of grace that flow from God to His people. But the ceremony had never been fulfilled. And the Apostle John tells us that on that occasion, strikingly, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood in the temple and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." From within the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be rivers of water given in the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, who was to be given on the day of Pentecost. It is all fulfilled in Jesus. It is only when Jesus is standing in Zion, only when Jesus, when he dies on the cross of Calvary and blood and water flow from his wounded side as a kind of glorious symbol of how he would die for our guilt, and from his wounded side there would flow to us the rivers of living water, so that when we say these words, "All my springs are in you," we can add the word, "Jesus, all my springs are in you." That is what unites us. That is the name we have in common. He is the person who draws us to himself and satisfies us with the riches of his grace. Solid joys and lasting treasure, lasting into all eternity, none but Zion's children know. If you are a child of Zion, you do know it. Even in the midst of sorrow, you know it. Even in the midst of confusion, you know it. And you have this sense through the witness of the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with your spirit, that you really are the child of God. You have the sense that the Father is looking at you. His heart is toward you. His eyes are on you. And he is saying, "This one too was born there." What a family to which we belong. What privileges are ours in Jesus Christ. Second, we see that all the springs that are within us come from the same source. You know that our Savior says concerning the man who drinks of the water that he gives, that water shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A Christian is not a cistern that is filled and emptied, but by God's grace, he becomes a living well. He is not a puppet moved with strings. He's not a machine that's wound up and moves mechanically. No, there's a living power in him. It is the living power of the living Christ and the Holy Spirit who gives life. He is a new creature in Jesus Christ with the highest form of life, and he possesses that life in the highest degree of freedom. For while a man is naturally a free agent, yet he's in a far superior sense a free agent when he becomes a converted soul. Jesus said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." All the springs of our innermost life lie in God. Colossians 3 verse 3 says, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Christ is your life. All the springs of life are in him. All the springs of our secret thought and of our devotion are in him. You cannot always think of God and worship God. There are times in our soul when we have the wings of an eagle and can mount up and with unblinking eyes look into the infinite glory, and we can soar with delight. At other times we cannot seem to rise from the ground. Sometimes the preaching is rich food for the soil that brings forth much fruit, and at other times it seems barren. If we have any power of thought or sweetness of devotion in drawing near to God, all our springs lie in him. And this is also true with the springs of our emotions. Do you not find yourself sometimes sweetly melted down by the power of God's word? Could you not at such times sit and weep under the thought of the death of Jesus and his unspeakable love to you? At times, do you not feel stirred with holy joy so that you could burst out with an impromptu hallelujah, or begin to sing a new song to the praise of his great love with which he has loved you? At other times you think about the same theme, but your heart feels no power. The same song is sung, but though your lips join in singing it, your heart does not go with the melody. You cannot command your own spirit. The Lord must help you. The springs of your emotions lie in His hands. If He leaves you, you are like the Arctic Sea, frozen solid. But when He comes and smiles upon you, all the icebergs melt in a moment, and your heart feels the warm Gulf Stream of eternal love flowing right through it. And then there comes the time of the blossoming of spring and the singing of the birds. The whole heart is alive unto the Most High God. The springs of your emotions as well as of your holy thought and devotion all lie in Him. The same is true with regard to the springs of all true actions. Christians are not all thought and all emotion. They are practical men and women and children and seek to work for God. But did any of us ever do a good work in our own strength? We have done many works in our own strength, but were they good for anything? Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." You can bring forth fruit without Him, but your fruits are as the vines of Sodom and as the fields of Gomorrah. Only that is right which comes from Him. When He blesses us, our actions done for Him are accepted through Him. It will always be true that our springs of holy zeal, our springs of joy, our springs of fellowship, our springs of every kind that are worth having all lie in Him. And it will be good if the whole church recognizes that. We cannot stir up a revival. It is a great pity that we should ever try to do so. For such a revival, if we ever seem to get it, will be worthless. Only the Lord can send a true revival. All our springs are in Him. We must not depend upon ministers and pray, if so-and-so shall preach, good results will follow. Our springs are not in these poor cisterns. They are in our God. When will the church look away from the creature to the Creator? When will the church purge herself of that hereditary fault of hewing out for herself broken cisterns and forgetting the fountain of living waters? I am persuaded that the more I live upon God alone, the more I truly live. And that the less I know of anything like power or wisdom or anything of the sort pertaining to myself, the better. The more I decrease and He increases, the more I grow up in the Lord in all things. Let us always say with our Savior, "All my springs which are within me, as well as those of which I drink, are in my God." What are some of the ways that we can apply this in our lives? First, let us look to these springs. If you do not feel up to the mark, if you are dull and heavy and have no springs in yourself, remember that they never were there. You never had any. All my springs are in you. Do you feel empty? You only feel just as you are. Do you feel as though there was death written upon you? Quite so, there is. Your life is in Christ. Your fullness is in Christ. Your strength is in Christ. Has it been reported to you that Christ has lost His power, that His life has declined? If it were so, you would have great cause for weeping. But He's always the same. And therefore the well of water, the spring of water, is always the same. If the water is gone in your bottle and you are wondering, "What shall I do?" Like Hagar in the wilderness with her son Ishmael. "All my water is gone." There's a well near you. Open your eyes, for God sees you and God provides for you. Christ is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you say, "Oh, but I think I have forgotten Him," then remember Him. If you say, "But I fear I'm not one of His people," Well, if you're not a saint, you are a sinner. And he came to save sinners. Satan says, oh, no, you're not a child of God. Say to him, no, nor are you either. He says, ah, but you have no true Christian experience. No, I do not, nor do you either. But one thing I know, I am sinful, and Christ has washed me in his blood by faith and made me clean. If I cannot go to him as a saint, I will go even now as a sinner. If I have been mistaken in the past, I will begin again. Dear child of God, that is the only way to end the controversy with the evil one. Go and stand at the foot of the cross of Jesus again. Begin again, for all your springs are still there. And though you cannot find any springs in yourself, they're still in God. Second, if all my springs are in God, then let all my streams flow to God. All the rivers run into the sea because they all came from the sea. It was from the sea that the sun drew up the moisture into the clouds, which fed the thousand streams that fall into the rivers, and so the rivers run back to the sea. Let us do the same. What we have had from God must go to God. When we're not serving God acceptably, when we're not consecrating everything to God, we lose supplies from God. In temporal things, I've known people to give to God by the shovelfuls, and God sent silent wagon loads by the back door. They could not send back their substance as fast as God sent it to them. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, "And give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom, and many have found it so." If our springs are in Him, even in temporal things, let the streams run back to Him. Let us not rob God. And as to spiritual things, let us give back to God the more. He gives us the faith that He gives us, the spiritual strength that He gives us, and let us use it for Him. Let us use for Him the experience He has given us, the instruction He has given us. Let us instruct and encourage others to His glory with what we have received from Him. Let us lay out every talent and keep none buried in the earth. May the Lord grant to each of us His grace always to say to Him, "All my springs are in You, so all my streams shall be to You." Finally, let us have a great deal of hope about other people, because if all the streams are in God, I do not need to consider, when I go forth to do good to my fellow man, what is in them. Instead, I only need to consider what is in God. When I address a sinner and say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," I do it because God tells me to do it. Just as I would have said to the dry bones, "Live." And if I do it in God's name, being perfectly sure that they cannot believe of themselves, then I'm doing right. For I'm exercising my own faith. It is an act of faith on the part of the preacher. And God will bless that act of faith. And many of the dry bones will live. Sinners will repent and will, by His grace, believe the gospel. We must not think that our hope lies in what is in the sinner. Many try to adapt the gospel to the sinner. How foolish. What is there in the sinner but everything that is opposed to the gospel? Everything that is the opposite of the gospel? Everything that would put the gospel to death if it could? All the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ lies in God, not in the sinner. Salvation comes from God and from God alone. And therefore, there is no reason why I should not preach the gospel with a hope of success in every place and in every land. You may distribute tracts and Bibles and give warnings to the harlot and the thief with good hope of success. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees who knew so much rejected his word, but the tax collectors and the harlots entered the kingdom of heaven before them. Therefore, there is nothing about the sinner to make us hesitate to preach to him, because if he is dead, God can lift him up. Yes, if he is like Lazarus, dead and buried, the voice of God can call him forth from the tomb. Yes, if he were as nothing, God makes the things that are not to be mightier than the things that are. He can bless where all was cursed. Out of the stones of the brook, he can raise up children to Abraham. Let us have great comfort in going to preach or to teach his word, the gospel of grace in Christ, or to engage in other forms of usefulness and service in the name of the Savior. All our springs lie in God. And if we are going to work in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, never mind. Our springs are in God. Our faith is in Him. And He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And our springs, all our springs, are in Him. Amen. O Lord our God, these words you have spoken to us in Psalm 87 are amazing. And even these concluding words, all our springs are in you. That is the joyous song and refrain of your people bowing down in your presence to worship you, the God of salvation, the God of redemption, the God of grace, the God who makes what is not to be, the God who takes the weak and the things that are nothing and makes them the trophies of your sovereign grace. Lord, we thank you that all our springs are in you, that all that we have and all that we receive is in you. But we thank you also that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, He makes by His Spirit rivers of living water to flow out of us. Not because there's any water in us, but because the richness of His grace is so great and abundant. We pray, Lord God, that we may understand something of what this means, and that we may remember this in our lives, so many places and circumstances, as we serve you, as we struggle against the temptations of the devil and of our own sinful flesh. And we pray, Lord God, that even as all our springs are in you, you would cause the dead to live, because you make them to hear your own voice, the voice of the Son of God, and to believe. And so, Father, we pray that all of your children may be born from above into that city of God, Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, so that when you, O Lord, record and register the peoples, you will say, this one and that one were born in her. They were born there. They're mine. Grant us these gracious gifts and blessings, not only this night, but through the days of this week. And we will give you all the praise and glory and honor, for all our springs are in you. Amen.